the union in no way delayed the implementation of the training program or the policy. The union never contested the actual policy itself. We simply asked for training. It's a dynamic change in what we now do, regardless of what the agency says. So we were very vocal in asking for training for field managers and officers who were completely clueless as to how we were actually going to enforce this policy in the field. We asked DHS and ICE to bring us on board, kind of in conjunction with the president's executive order on working with the unions and pre-decisional involvement. And, we think that had that happened, had we been able to work with the union the agency on this from the beginning, the training program would be ready to go right now. I think the agency took way too long itself to get the policy out there. I think they took way too long to get the training program put together. It took them about 6 months. And we're just absolutely in shock now to see in the New York Times now that we've been excluded from this process for approximately 3 years, that we are now being blamed for holding up the policy and the training program when we've only been involved now for 19 days. And I can't, I can't say that enough, that the agency had this and worked on this for 3 years. And we've been involved now for 19 days, most of that over the Christmas and New Year holiday, and we're being blamed by the New York Times and by the administration and DHS and ICE for holding this process up. We have no intention of holding it up. Again, we just want to make sure that we have adequate training for our officers and field managers, because we believe that that's where ICE, INS, has been criticized a lot for not following a lot of these old policies that we had in place before, primarily because the training wasn't there.
Chris, let me jump in real quick. So one of the issues that I think came up is, why weren't you guys involved earlier on? Give us a little bit of background. You said the policy was worked on for about 2.5 or 3 years, and then you went before Congress and talked about needing training. What was the process by which, leading up to this, challenge of getting the training set in place and having you guys participate in the development of that training?
I really can't answer that question effectively. We don't have, as federal sector unions, we don't have the right to bargain over wages and salaries and vacations and benefits packages and all those things that they do in the private sector. We can't strike or we lose our jobs. We're a totally different group. Our main benefit to the government, our main purpose really, is to bring experience, expertise from the field to the table and discuss those issues and make policies like this better by bringing that experience and knowledge from the field. And we just haven't had that.
So bring us forward to the past 19 days, as you mentioned. What has happened between you and ICE? Did they approach you and say, hey guys, we're ready to do some training? How has that worked out?
Basically, what happens when the agency makes a decision that they don't want to work with us in a pre-decisional atmosphere, when they don't want to have a partnership with us and work on a project, which is what the agency did in this case, the only other avenue is for the agency to apply, the contract. Obviously, we're a union and it's very limited, but we do have a contract, and it outlines timelines and processes for how the union and the agency will interact in a process such as this, bargaining basically over changes to working conditions. So with that said, the agency served us official certified mail notification. They sent us a document saying that this is now your opportunity to bargain with the agency over this policy, and you have 22 days to respond. And that's where it's at right now. So at this point, we're taking our very first look at, I'm going to tell you, is a very, very small, insignificant amount of information which they've actually provided to us. And we're going to try to start going through that information and making up our proposals as to any changes that we might see that are needed in the training program.
But up until this point, you've given no response to their invitation to come bargain on that issue, correct?
Well, we haven't had an invitation.
Understood, but over the last 19 days.
Correct. We haven't had any interaction with the agency since that time, but it's only because that's the process.
Are you concerned about the training itself, or are you more concerned about the lack of that interaction?
We're concerned about both. We're very confused by the policy. It is a very dramatic change in the way that we conduct enforcement now. But we're obviously, we are very concerned about the fact that we're working with an agency that for the most part is, you know, our headquarters element is made up of people who have never worked at ICE. They've never worked in the field. Many of them, quite frankly, have never put handcuffs on anyone. You know, they've never been in that situation. They've never, you know, been in a life or death situation out in the field. They've never opened a door to a house serving a warrant, not knowing what's on the other side of that door. And they don't understand what we deal with. They've never been assaulted, you know. So it concerns us greatly when the field element of this is cut out.
You said earlier that this bargaining was over a change in working conditions. Is that just a term of art in labor negotiations, or do you literally believe that this will increase the level of danger to ICE agents in the field?
Well, I definitely believe that it's going to potentially create a situation where there are liability issues. I think that there's definitely going to be problems with our officers being disciplined, you know, things that, you know, potentially maybe, you know, that, not legal liability, but, you know, instances where they could lose their job because they misinterpret or don't understand these policies and how to apply them out in the field. That there's no question about that. We're already seeing that in the field with changes that the administration has made. And, you know, our bargaining, you know, it extends beyond just, you know, simple working conditions. When we have issues like that, we have to address them as well.
Talk a little bit about going forward now. What do you hope that happens now? You know, you had the New York Times story, you've written a letter to the White House, you've tried to kind of reach out a little bit more. What do you hope happens looking forward over the next 2, 3, 4 months?
Well, you know, if we're talking about my hopes, you know, my hopes are actually pretty big. We would like to get this done as quickly as possible. We would like to, you know, have the agency just really sit down with us and say, what's it going to take to make this a success in the field, you know, so that we don't have this confrontational bargaining situation. Let's do something together that's going to make our agency work better. That's what we want to happen on this policy, and that's what we want to happen from here on out. We don't like to have this confrontational situation with the agency. We are not political appointees, and we're not elected officials. We don't come and go every 4 years. We're in it for the long haul. We worked here for 20, 30 years. We want to see a better agency that works effectively and that has a primary mission of public safety. Those are the things that we want to see happen. Those are our hopes.